I know your hearts were blessed with that, wasn't it? Yeah, see the children up here singing from their hearts. This morning we're going to be looking in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. The key verse here in this passage is verse 17. And it also is taken from Psalm 69:9. It's probably noted in your Bible there. Since this has been Thanksgiving week, I think it's a good time to be thankful and then start out the new year now having a zeal for God and His house, as John and the psalmist David, who wrote Psalm 69, has, and encouraging us, commending us to do that. So beginning with verse 12, which says, after this, he went down to Capernaum, and he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days, talking about Jesus. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. His disciples remembered that it was written. Now they knew the Old Testament, didn't they? Zeal for your house will consume me. And, of course, that the KJV is up there now. The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And then when we go to the New American Standard, it says, consume me. Now, I had time to elaborate on what Jesus was doing. You know, the Bible said, be angry and sin not. And this is one of those situations where Christ drove the money changers, those who were making the house or the temple a business place, he drove them out. And I'm sure he was really upset with them, but, you know, that was a time to be angry and sin not. And of course, you know, God doesn't sin. Jesus doesn't sin. And if we could do that ourselves, we would be in good condition, wouldn't we? In right appropriate times when the house is not being used for what it should be used for. And it's, as verse 17 says, that we should have the zeal for the house to come to worship, to praise God, to share in fellowship, and be consumer, as the psalmist says, as David says, I'm eaten up with the Lord and His house. Now, verse 17, I want to refer to that eaten up. You probably eaten a lot of turkey this past week, right? So you might have consumed a lot of turkey, but eaten up, you can be eaten up with a goal, G-O-A-L. I mean, you could be consumed with it. Try to accomplish or make your goal in life. It's when you want something so badly that it eats you up or it consumes you. And it's okay when it relates to the Lord and His house. So we get eaten up with something we want. They say in the world of sales that once a person is emotionally attached to something, like a car or a house, or it could be electronic gadgets or anything, that when we get so attached to it, that, you know, they got you eating out of their hands, right? And good salespeople can have you doing that, right? They can do that. Have you eating out of the palms of their hands. So wouldn't it be awesome if people had that kind of zeal for the things of God? Wouldn't it be wonderful? And then looking at verse 17, quoting from Psalm 69:9, the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. And then when you look at the word zeal, it means passion or enthusiasm. Zealous is related to the word jealous. And in the sense that you are willing to protect something at all cost. That's what that means. Zealous or jealous, it means protection. You know, God is jealous, you know. He don't want us to have any other gods before him. And he has the right because he has created us. He made us in his own image. So do you have this morning, as David is saying right here in Psalm 69, do you personally have the zeal for the house of God? First of all, do you have the zeal for God? Are you at the point in your life that you feel like David, that you're just eaten up, consumed with God in your life, that you're overflowing with God in your life? Are you zealous about your church? Are you telling other people how zealous you are or how consumed that you are of your church, Versailles Baptist Church? Of course, we know that the church is God's church, but this is where we assemble, right? This is where we come to worship. This is where we come to praise God and to fellowship and to serve and to do ministry. Did you know we have an ATM here? An ATM, you know what an ATM is. You know, banks have them, right? I just come up with an acronym here. A stands for attendance, all right? T for what? Tithing. And M for what? Ministry. Yeah. So we have an ATM here. Would you like to be a part of that? Yes. Well, we haven't resorted to putting one in in our church, or even swiping your credit card, because the credit check would take the ushers too long, right? And Gene probably wouldn't want to do that, would he? But what we need to set up is a bank draft system for some, right? But I'm zealous about the house of God. I am really, truly zealous, or have that zeal and enthusiasm for God's house. I think I acquired that when I was a young child, young little boy, and it hasn't gone away. And we need that in our lives. We need to be telling others about God's house. So why should there be zeal for God's house? And why be eaten up with the church? Well, first of all, because it pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord that you are here today. Do you know that? It pleases him. Not only that, it pleases me. As you look around, it should please you and others as you see each other. It should give you that enthusiasm, that zeal, that J. Vernon McGee used to say, that unction that you need as we serve the Lord together. See, you're giving the first day of a new week to the Lord. It's the Lord's day all day long, right? All day long is the Lord's day, the first day of the week. And it's not Christ or the church, but it's Christ and his church. The true believer is eaten up with the zeal of the house of God. And I want to keep referring to this verse 17, because, you know, this verse to me is very contagious. It was to David. You know, I think that he got so contagious and eaten up with God in his life and the church that's what made him dance. He played music. He played his music and he started dancing and everything. Now, I'm not saying that we need to just start jumping pews and so forth like that, but we need to always show some excitement. And if we're not excited, then do we have that zeal in our heart? Because when we sing with melody in our heart. We praise God from the heart. And that's where it comes from. And that's what this scripture is relating to, is the zeal and the enthusiasm that we have for God. There's nothing like it when you have it. So, when you hear someone say they are saved, that they are not zealous towards a local assembly, I believe something is wrong. Now, Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake, or not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so the much more as you see the day approaching. Now, when you see that day approaching, means that one of these days, the Lord is coming back, isn't he? And a lot of the people back in that day when this statement was made, it was kind of somewhat disappointed because they was expecting Christ to come soon. But we need to be expecting and being ready, prepared each day if it should even happen today. Christ must not find us lacking in our devotion and our preparation. So sometimes we get so relaxed in our preparation that we don't even probably think about it. When you think about it, you get up in the morning, you often look at a beautiful day and you say, boy, this will be a great day for God to come back, wouldn't it? Or send Jesus Christ to get us. And then on those cloudy days, you know, when it's all gloomy and rain and storm and everything, you're all down and out. You think, well, Lord, don't come today because I'm not ready in the mood. But you know what? That's why the Bible says to be ready, be prepared at all times, because no one knows when he's going to come back again. We don't know. But we need to encourage one another as the day approaches. You know, you maybe walk up to somebody, you know, the Lord is coming back one of these days. It could be today, it could be tomorrow. Are you ready? And they may ask you, well, what's wrong with you? And say, I have a zeal for God and his church, and I want to make sure that you do too as well. So, is Hebrews 10:25 a suggestion or is it a command? Well, the true believer delights in obeying God's commands. By the way, we assemble every morning at 9:30 a.m., right? Right here, every Sunday morning at a.m., and Wednesday night at 5:30 p.m., and we assemble for Sunday school at 10:45 most of the time, right? At 10:45 a.m., and tonight we will be assembling at what? 6 o'clock for hanging of the greens. And I hope that you'll be here for this. So what I'm saying, I am suggesting the assembling. But according to Hebrews 10:25, it's a command. It's a command that we do this. Of course, you know, work or sickness may be a providential hindrance, but the CMAs is not. Is that the Country Music Awards or Association? Yeah, and none of you watch that anyway, do you? I'm just using that. I just threw that one off the cuff. But Hebrews 10:25, to neglect Christian meeting is to give up the encouragement of help of other Christians. You never know when you come to church how you can be encouraging to someone else. You know, I was encouraged when I walked in this morning. I'm always encouraged when I walk into this building in God's house. There's a presence here because it's the presence of God. And God is going to be where He is welcomed. And I know that He's welcome here, and you can feel His presence when you come in. And that should change our life. We should be different when we walk out of these doors, into the outside of this. We should feel a difference and a change that when we came in here. Now, if a person doesn't enter any church or any time, then they haven't made preparations beforehand when they came in. So if we don't make preparations before we come to church in our daily activities of reading and studying and praying throughout the week, then we're really not going to be ready, really prepared to receive what God wants us to receive when we come together. But our preparation is very necessary. See, we gather together to share our faith and to strengthen one another in the Lord. So that's why it pleases the Lord when we come together. It pleases Him. And I know probably you are often pleased when you come together with someone, or you meet someone, or you know that you have an appointment with someone. And it's a special occasion. It could be family. It could be friends. But you make a point and you are there. And it pleases you. And it pleases God when we accept His appointment to come each Sunday morning and attend. And we do our part and we serve and do ministry. So why be eaten up with the zeal? Because you know it is a good testimony. Every one of us have a testimony. And you can share it out in with other people as you go about, talking with people and so forth. But just your appearance here, using Ed for example, man, he's here every time the doors open. Sometimes when they're not open, he's here, aren't you, Ed? Through the week. Because I think you're eaten up with God in His house. And that's what we are to be. And I'm not saying all of us are not. But when we look at our desire to be here and studying God's Word and being a part of ministry and seeing what God is going to do through our lives when we have that zeal and being consumed, it does make a difference in our lives. So Jesus is the invisible part of the visible church, and the church is a visible part of the invisible Christ. See, I hope you get the magnitude of this. For the concept of the identification with a local church is more than important than people assume today. It's more important than a lot of people assume today. Just yesterday, I was talking with a man. And he was telling me about a friend of his. Actually, it's a family member that he met just recently and hadn't seen for a long time. And they were getting caught up on one another. And this woman asked his family member, where are you going to church? Well, I don't go to church. I just give it up. It's too political. There's too many hypocrites and all of that in the church anymore. So I just give it up. Of course, he got preached to, the man did. But why he would do that? You know, when we place obstacles and things like that between us and God, we're saying they're bigger than God. We're not looking through obstacles or walls or people to see the true and living God. And there's nothing bigger than God. Nothing can keep you or me from being faithful to God. It's a choice and it's a mindset that Satan plants in our hearts. When we do that, or when we even say that, it's allowing Satan to have the victory. So when a believer says they don't want to identify closely with the church, they are unwillingly insulting the Christ who died for the church, married them as his bride, and is building their mansion in a mansion that is out of this world. See, we should have the zeal of God because it is a testimony to the world around us. And when we don't, then it is still a testimony that we do not have a zeal for Christ. See, a major mark of a child growing up and maturing is discovering the importance of the body. You ever watch a child when they begin to discover their body? They're looking at their fingers, they're even putting them in their mouth, even taking their toes and putting them in their mouths. Or they find their ears or their nose or their eyes or hair. And then finally they figure it out. They have legs. And they crawl on them for a while and then they get up and start walking. Oh, that's what these legs are for. Isn't it wonderful when children discover what their body is about? And they start using it and they start functioning and they get all excited they can do all of these things. It is the same with the body of Christ. When we are many members, but we're one body. And when you look around and see the characteristics and all the gifts and so forth that God has given us and bestowed upon us, and we see them working together, then we as a body of Christ, as a child, should get excited. Amen? We should. We should be excited as well, as just as a child, when they discover their body. That it really actually works. That it was divinely orchestrated and created perfectly by a living God. If that don't get you excited, I don't know. Maybe you've been sucking on a prune or something, you know? You're all puckered up. Or maybe you ate too much turkey. I don't know. I'm still eating turkey. It's good, right? It's okay. Well, let's look at a next while we're eating up with God and his church. It's because you will experience fellowship and discipleship. See, we have a common fellowship here. Think about it. We have a common fellowship here. A bunch of fellows in the same ship. Fellowship, get that? A bunch of fellows in the same ship, okay? You'll catch on. See, we're much stronger together than apart, right? And you've heard me say this before. What happens to one banana when it leaves the bunch? What happens to it? It gets peeled, that's right. So when we stick together, we can do much more things together. See, coming together as a body of Christ is also a place to learn, a means to grow, and an opportunity to serve. Just like the ATM, right? I hope you don't forget that. So why does my body, why does it exist? To me, it is to serve. Why does the body of Christ exist? To serve the Master. To serve the Master. He is the head of the body. See, we seek out the mind of Christ and then serve its commands. That's what we do. We seek out the mind of Christ, and then we serve its commands. That's what Christ does. See, every time you darken the doors, you are saying, Jesus, I love you, and thank you for making me a part of this church, or helping me find this church, a place of worship, a place to serve, a place to commune with one another, and to share the good times and the good thoughts and what's going on in your life. I've heard countless people in this church say to me, I am so blessed to be a part of this church. It is so supportive. It has helped me so much throughout the years. And I wouldn't be what I am today if it wasn't for Versailles Baptist Church. I've heard countless of you say that to me. And you know what? That blesses me. That tells me that you do have a zeal to do what's right in the sight of God. You know, a lot of churches do all the right things. Sometimes all the churches don't do all the things right. And we want to be a church that does all the things right all the time. And when we have the zeal and the unction and enthusiasm, God is going to show us a new direction. So every time you darken the doors, you're saying, Jesus, I love you, and thank you for making me a part of the church. And Pastor, I love you and appreciate the work you put into your sermons, even the Wednesday evening Bible studies. I hear that, and I'm thankful. And fellow members, I love you and will show up to do my best and do my part. As I've told the ones on Wednesday night that come for our Bible study, and I'll tell you, if there was only two people here in this service today, I would prepare as much for those two people as I would for 1,000 people that show up. That's doing your part. That's doing your part. Because when we do our part and we go over and above, God is truly going to bless. See, don't be like a tick on a dog, just in for what you can get out of it. And that's what a tick does, isn't it? He's just on for what he can get out of it. And I so appreciate the faithful people of Versailles Baptist Church for all that you do. I really do. You are eaten up with zeal for the house of God, and you do what you do for not for the appreciation of it, but for the Lord. And that's what we are. Whatever we do, the scripture says, whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord, not ourself, that we might be appreciated. But it's because of the Lord. See, if you're not eaten up with the same zeal, if you're not unfaithful in and out, do you know why you feel that freedom? It's because of the faithful who do their best to make up for it by pulling double duty and by giving over and above what they have to do so. In every service, God will be glorified. And on those occasions when some holiday, you know, like just like we experience, attendees take a notion to grace us with their presence, we will be here for them. The doors will be open. The building will be clean and warm. The instruments will play. Ushers will serve them. Sound and video engineers will leave their spouses alone sitting down here while they're up there. Hopefully the pastor will say what they want to hear. Well, we love you. And God is my witness, I told you today what you need to hear. Amen? In conclusion, nothing can build, not a business, not sports team, not a club, without faithful involvement from a body of people. You think about that. Nothing can build. But my prayer is, and our prayer should be, give us zeal for the house of God. Give us that zeal. Give us the zeal for the Lord. And give it to us for the house of God. Looking at verse 17 again. Look at verse 17 says, zeal for your house will consume me or eat me up. Now that sounds pretty profound, doesn't it? But I like it that way when it comes from the Word of God. Because it's sending us a message of what those like David, John, and all of those that were with Jesus and had that personal encounter with God, and they got so consumed with the presence of God in their life that they couldn't help it but express it. And we need to express it when we know that God is right here in our heart, and there's so many out there in this world that needs the same thing as we have, but we're not expressing it in a way that they know that we're consumed or we have that zeal. You think about that. That's what we needed to hear. That's what God wants us to hear, but just not hear, but act upon it. So the world will know that we're with God. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you this morning for your word, for your scripture. And it should stir us, it should shake us this morning. Wake us up. For there's more to this life and this breathing, the air that you give us, or walking on these 2 feet here and there. But it's about having that special desire to love you even more and more each day as we get to know you through your scripture and through prayer. And we get caught up and we think about everything physically or emotionally in our life, and we forget about the spiritual part of our life, which is the utmost, most importance for you. And we let our own self down and we neglect that spiritual part. And that's why we don't show it in our actions. And Lord, we should never neglect you, because you never have neglected us. You've always had us in the forefront of your purpose and your will. And I pray this morning that it will all be changed, transformed in your likeness, because we say, yes, Lord, I want that in my life. I want what David is saying, and we can have it if we be willing to give up a lot of the stuff, the baggage, the things that hold us back. And sometimes just pride. May us we be jealous and zealous for you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the invitation we're going to be singing. And I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally today, they'll walk this aisle and claim the name of Jesus as their personal Savior. In his precious name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 328. May we stand as we sing. 328. Thank you again for being here this morning in our service. Hope you come back tonight and make some phone calls and invite others. I had some people see me on the streets this week and said, you having Hanging of the Greens Sunday night? I said, yes, we are. They're going to try to be here for the first time. They've always wanted to come, and they said, we're going to try to be there tonight. So let people know. They haven't come, or if they have come, and come again. And you be here tonight, okay? Let's fill it up. Enjoy this evening together. Making preparation for the season that's coming very soon. The birth of our Christ, Jesus Christ, the Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, our closing prayer. And Shannon, would you close this in prayer, please?